The children might be glad, maybe not just the children, to know that I'm just going to read two verses of scripture. First one, in John chapter 14. And the first verse, John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe on God, believe also on me. And then in the 8th chapter of the same book, John chapter 8 and verse 23. And he said to them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore to you that ye shall die in your sins. For unless ye shall believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. We read this verse recently in this hall, John chapter 14. There's several categories of people in the world. There are those that don't believe in God at all, in any power. All they can think about and look upon is what is material. They have no interest or idea in anything else apart from themselves. So, this is real. I can feel it, I can touch it. That's the only thing that exists. And there are people that think there is something out there. You've probably met them. I've met them at work. They say, well, there's some higher power somewhere. They can't name him. There's just something which is outside of me, but I can't put my finger on it. And then there's a third category of people who believe in God, who recognise that there is a God somewhere, someone. There is a God. We don't know anything about him. He probably exists. And there's a fourth category of person who really does believe in God. They recognise that there is a creator God, but I don't know him at all, and he doesn't care about me, really. But I do acknowledge him. I hope at least, dear friend, tonight that you come into the fourth category, at the very least, that you believe in God. If not, you're a fool. I'm not saying that, dear friend. That's what the scripture says. The fool hath said in his heart that there is no God. If you look around, isn't it obvious to you that there is a God? Paul says that even nature teaches you. Isn't it incredible? You know, some of the greatest minds, right? Stephen Hawking or David Attenborough. Brilliant minds. And they cut God out of their life. Not interested. Don't believe in him. My dear friend, tonight, the fool has said in his heart there is no God. And yet we're living in a world which has rejected God, aren't we? It says they chose not to have him in their knowledge. Deliberate choice, dear friend. Maybe you shut God out of your life. I start with that, but that's not the gospel. What impressed me reading this and hearing it the other day, the Lord Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he gives them credit with believing in God. You believe on God. They had that heritage. They knew something. But there is something far greater. Believe also on me. Why did Jesus come? He came for different reasons. The two principal ones. He came to reveal God himself. And he came to resolve the question of sin. See, these Jews, they knew God. He'd revealed himself to them in various ways. Through the prophets. You see, God had revealed himself through the prophets and through the fathers. And he revealed himself too through the word, hadn't he? And God does reveal himself through the word. God reveals himself through creation, as Paul said. And he reveals himself through men. And he reveals himself through his own word. But that was not enough. God wanted to reveal himself fully. What does it say in the scripture? When the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son. Because it's only in Jesus that God fully reveals himself. People say, I don't know what God is like. He doesn't care about me. He doesn't understand. God is remote and away up there. I've spread about those different categories of people. But even the one that does believe in God, what is he like? How can I know him? Yes, I do believe in God, but what is he like? Dear friend, you only need to look as far as Jesus. In him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. We've been reading this afternoon, haven't we? Something, a short glimpse of the pathway of Jesus. And yet to think, who was there, dear friend? Was it just a martyr? Was it a good man? Was it a teacher? A prophet? That's what the world thinks, you know, largely, of Jesus. A hysterical figure. Someone that lived. Yes, there's probably more evidence about the fact that Jesus lived more than any other man. But you know that what we read of this afternoon, the closing few days, hours of Jesus on this earth. Who was there? It's God, wasn't it? In him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I don't understand that, dear friends. God was there. He was God. And yet he became a man. That's the wonder of the gospel, isn't it? The incarnation. No wonder there was praise in heaven. No wonder the angels sang. The God who created everything. There he was lying in Bethlehem's manger. Why did he come that way? Why did not God just remain a distant, remote person? A force, as some people like to think of. Just an influence or a power. Because he made himself known. God came into the human frame. There was the babe lying in the manger. Fully God and fully man. And why did he go that way? Why did he become like one of us? With one vital, major difference. In him, sin was not. Perfect. And why was that? Where we read this afternoon, it says, to this end was I born. Jesus was born for a specific purpose. To come into this world and to suffer and die for our sins. That can be said of no other man. So from the very moment that Jesus was born, the shadow of the cross was in front of him. Even at the age of 12, he said, I must be about my father's business. What was the father's business? He was reconciling men to himself. And so, dear friend, the gospel goes out that you might understand who Jesus is. And the challenge tonight, dear friend, for you, you believe in God. I trust you do. I sincerely trust you do. Because what a terrible thing. It says, without God, without hope in this world. You know, millions of people have absolutely no hope without God. And yet, believing in God is not enough. Let me make that quite plain to you tonight in the gospel. There are many people, and you meet them, don't you, at work or in other places. They're sincere people. They believe in God, but that won't get them to heaven. That won't save them. They need to believe in Jesus. Ye believe in God, believe also on me. And it's often been pointed out, hasn't it, the note on is very important. It's not just a mental assent. You know, so many people in this world, they believe in Jesus as a sort of intellectual exercise. They believe that he existed and they might understand that he died, and they might even understand and believe that he rose again. But you're not saved by just a mental assent. Believing on, as the note makes it clear, if you look it up and follow it through, it's an active faith. It means to put my faith in that person. To cling on to it as if nothing else mattered. Do you believe Jesus like that tonight, dear friend? Are all your hopes centering on him? Do you trust him? I'm sorry if I've said this many times, but when I go into a plane, and I'm not a very good traveller at all, Hazel will tell you, I'm a very poor flyer. And I wouldn't know, I read a story the other day of a pilot that collapsed and one of the passengers managed to fly the plane. He was guided down, and that's very clever. But I wouldn't have a clue. But my trust is in the pilot. I'm absolutely shut up to my trust in the pilot. Dear friend, tonight, if you are to know the salvation of your soul, you need to have that same trust in Jesus. To put your trust and confidence in him alone. To know that he alone can carry it through. If you trust in man, we've seen it, haven't we, politically. Every man fails. The best of men, they fail. Parents certainly fail. Governments fail. Teachers fail. Sorry, Tim. There is one man that has never failed. We can put our absolute trust in Jesus because of what he's done and what and of who he is. Believe in God, believe also in me. And as the note says, I'd recommend you follow up that note, to put your faith on that person, to trust in him, to depend on him, so that whatever comes in life, whatever the life storms rage upon you, you have that anchor. You know what an anchor is in a ship? It keeps the boat secure. Even if the waves are raging around, that ship is secure, is grounded, because it has an anchor. And Peter, you know, speaks about the anchor of the soul. Who is the anchor, dear friend? It's Jesus. You can cling on to him. Trust him. What does the hymn say? Simply trust him. That is all. Yes, it's too simple. It's so simple, dear friend, that millions miss it. But I don't want you to miss it tonight. Simply trust him. Believe on God, believe also on me. Who is the me? Who is Jesus? Teacher, preacher, good man, prophet, king. Yes, he's all those things. He's also the Son of God. God manifests in the flesh. Saviour. What did he do? He did many wonderful things, didn't he? Healed the sick. Gave sight to the blind. Made the lame walk. I often think how wonderful it must have been. You go into the hospital, I spent a few hours in A&E the other week. You see all these people lying in beds, helpless. They can't cope with them. Just imagine Jesus. He healed them all. They came to him, and he says he healed all their diseases. What a wonderful saviour. And yet, dear friend, he's done something more wonderful than that. Because he can heal the soul. Not just the body, but he heals the soul. The sin, sick soul. And each one of us, dear friend, is in need of healing. The Old Testament, you know, and in the New, leprosy was pictured sin. And yet Jesus, you know, he touched the leper. He dealt with him. We've recently been through a pandemic, haven't we, where people were distanced. The Lord Jesus, you know, he touched the leper. Just a touch. And you know, tonight, you might be full of sin. You might be steeped in sin. Jesus can touch you tonight. He can heal you, make you whole. Very often in the Gospels, the stories, it says they were made thoroughly well. You know, Jesus, I speak reverently, does a perfect work. He does the work completely. He made them thoroughly well. No one ever comes in contact with Jesus and the job is half finished, dear friend. I thank God for that cry, it is finished. What I have to present to you tonight is a saviour that's completed the work. He's finished the work that the Father, that's God himself, gave him to do. And therefore all you need to do is trust. Believe on. An object of faith. It means looking out of myself. You know, so many people in this world, they're turned in on themselves. That's why the counselling services and all the various agencies are full and desperate. They don't know what to do because people are turned in on themselves. They're full of desperation. The gospel would point you outside of yourself to a man that was here and died on a cross for you. He bore our sins in his body on the tree. Buried, raised again. Where is he now? He's in heaven, he's in glory. And tonight I'm asking you to look to him. You know, Spurgeon was saved by that scripture, look unto me, all ye the ends of the earth. And that's what we do in the Glad Tidings. We don't point to ourselves, we don't point to the preacher, we don't point to the congregation, we point to Jesus. Look unto me, look unto me, believe on me. Put your trust in him. Yeah. So, it says, believe on God, believe also on me. I read in John 8, because here it deals with the matter of sin. He was speaking to these people He said, "Ye are of this world, I am not." You know, all of us as sinners, we belong to this world of sin. But the Lord Jesus is calling us out. And he makes a very solemn declaration here, doesn't he? He says, "Unless ye shall believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." That's a very solemn statement, dear friend. Unless ye believe that I am he. Who is he? That's the question you need to answer tonight. Who is Jesus? Is he just a good man? Or is he the Son of God? The one who came from heaven to earth to suffer and die, to bear our sins in his own body. What does it say? Unless you do, you shall die in your sins. What a solemn thing that is, dear friend. Because you know what that means is there's only one thing left, the judgment. It's appointed unto men once to die, and then it says after that, the judgment. Dear friend, what a solemn situation. But you needn't, you know, end this way. We've had two burials, haven't we, in this company this year. Both of them, they were not in this position because they realized that someone had died for them. That when Jesus died, he took their sins away. And therefore they weren't dying in their sins, but they were dying with a hope that there was another world which they were now part of. Because the moment you trust in Jesus, you change your citizenship. Translated from the kingdom of the authority of darkness to the kingdom of the Son of his love. That happens the moment you trust in him. Dear friend tonight, where are you heading? Who are you trusting in? Are you trusting in this world which is under the authority of darkness? And I think that's becoming increasingly apparent. Every day that I read the news, I'm becoming increasingly aware that this world lies in the wicked one. But you have the opportunity tonight of transferring to another kingdom, where Jesus is the head and centre, where he is the king, and he's coming soon to claim the earth for himself. He will put everything right. People are looking for a good prime minister. I'm not sure they'll find one. But tonight, the earth is looking for some man. I know the man who's going to put everything right. But the wonderful thing in the gospel is he can put everything right for you now. You don't wait till when he comes back. He can put everything right for you now. He can resolve the question of your sins. He can give you hope. You won't die in your sins. You'll die with a wonderful expectation that Jesus is coming again. How wonderful that is. What a difference the believer has. I just would end on that note, dear friend. The gospel is going out that you might have to do with this glorious Saviour. Don't just believe on God, believe on him, the one that God has sent, that you might be saved and you might have a future and a life completely outside of this world. You know, everyone who believes in Jesus has a hope that the world can't touch, he cannot destroy. May it be your lot and portion tonight. For his name's sake.